What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 189. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about post-extubation stridor, answer the drug information question, why should patients with variceal bleeding receive ceftriaxone, and share a resource for antibiotic information. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode189. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The article for this episode recently appeared in a weekly literature digest for members of my Critical Care Pharmacy Academy. You can learn more at pharmacyjoe.com/academy. The title of the article is Prophylactic Corticosteroids for Prevention of Post-Extubation Stridor and Reintubation in Adults, a Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis. The lead author is Akira Kuriyama, and this was published in Chest, May 2017. Corticosteroid administration before elective extubation has been used to prevent post-extubation stridor and reintubation. The authors of this study updated a systematic review to identify which patients would benefit from prophylactic corticosteroid administration before elective extubation. The authors performed a thorough search for eligible trials from inception through February 29, 2016. To be eligible for inclusion, each randomized controlled trial had to examine the efficacy and safety of systemic corticosteroids given prior to elective extubation in mechanically ventilated adults. The authors analyzed 11 trials involving 2,472 patients. The use of prophylactic corticosteroids was associated with a reduced incidence of post-extubation airway events with a risk ratio of 0.43 and reduced reintubation risk with a risk ratio of 0.42 compared with placebo or no treatment at all. This association was driven by patients at high risk for the development of post-extubation airway complications defined using the cuff leak test, with a reduced incidence of post-extubation airway events and reintubation with risk ratios of 0.34 and 0.35 respectively. Adverse events were rare, and there was no difference between groups. The authors concluded administration of prophylactic corticosteroids before elective extubation was associated with significant reductions in the incidence of post-extubation airway events and reintubation with few adverse events. It's reasonable to select patients at high risk for airway obstruction who may benefit from prophylactic corticosteroids. A cuff leak test measures the air leak around a tracheal tube with the cuff deflated. The thought is that the amount of air leakage will be inversely related to the degree of laryngeal obstruction due to edema. The specificity of the cuff leak test is low, and a low cuff leak should not preclude extubation. However, based on this study, a low cuff leak can be used to identify a group of patients most likely to benefit from steroid administration prior to extubation. Multiple steroid regimens have been studied to prevent post-extubation stridor and reintubation. To my knowledge, no one regimen has been proven superior. Three example regimens are, number one, dexamethasone 5 milligrams IV, Q6 hours times 4 doses the day prior to extubation. Number two, methylprednisolone 20 milligrams IV, Q4 hours times 4 doses prior to extubation. And methylprednisolone 40 milligrams IV once 4 hours prior to extubation. The drug information question for this episode is, why should patients with variceal bleeding receive ceftriaxone? The answer is because mortality risk decreases. Multiple trials demonstrate that prophylactic antibiotics in patients with cirrhosis hospitalized for bleeding suggest an overall reduction in infectious complications and decreased mortality. These patients typically have variceal bleeding. The optimal antibiotic choice and duration of therapy is unknown for these patients. I use ceftriaxone 1 gram IV Q24 hours for 7 days due to a small study showing that this regimen was superior to a quinolone. And lastly, the resource for this episode is the 2017 pocket edition of the Sanford Guide to Antimicrobial Therapy. It's now available on Amazon, and I have a direct link to it in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode189. This was published back in April. I use the electronic version of Johns Hopkins Antibiotic Guide in my practice, but the Sanford Guide is superior if you have pediatric patients to care for or prefer a hard copy guide in your lab coat rather than an electronic version. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.